We've been on a series. This is the fifth message, and then last Sunday, of course, we had Reverend Kim Clout. So it's been 6 weeks, I guess. We've been on this series about speaking in tongues. And so, Pastor, are you still talking about that? Well, yeah. This is the last message, as far as I know. But there's a lot that needs to be said. And there's a lot we need to be for some of us be reminded of and be refreshed in, and for some of us some things that we just need to know regarding this. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we're going to continue on it this morning. In Mark chapter 16, and he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." That's verse 15. "He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." Father, thank you for your word this morning. I thank you, Lord, that you've already spoken to our hearts in a wonderful way. But Lord, I know that you're not finished yet, and I thank you that you speak to us through the preaching and teaching of your word this morning. I thank you that you give to each one of us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. Father, I pray that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened. Lord, that we would know the hope of your calling, the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints, and the exceeding greatness of your power toward us who believe. Thank you for that power that we tap into, the power of the Holy Spirit today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. As I was reading this, the thought came to me, you know, Jesus, this is right before he ascends back into heaven. He's risen from the dead. He calls his disciples together. He tells them to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And he says, these are the signs that will follow those that believe. And one of the signs that we're going to be talking about today is, he says, they will speak with new tongues. That is a sign that is to follow believers. And I just thought about, as I was reading through this list, casting out demons, speaking with new tongues, you know, divine protection, laying hands on the sick and then recovering. I just was comparing that in my mind as I was reading it. What Jesus said ought to be in the church, what Jesus said believers ought to be involved in. And when we look at the church today and we look at what, you know, for so much of the church world, and I'm not here to throw stones or to point fingers, about how in so many things, in so many ways, we've watered things down, haven't we? This is wild, as I pointed out a couple of weeks ago. This is wild stuff here. Casting out demons, that's wild, isn't it? Laying hands on the sick, divine protection over serpents and scorpions. There was a scorpion in the church this morning. This serpent's here, but Jesus said you'll tread on serpents and scorpions in another scripture, and thank God it was dead already. So relax, our exterminator did their job. I would start to say, "I'm going to call our exterminator." And I said, "Well, was it dead?" "It was dead," so. The exterminator would say, "Well, it was dead, wasn't it?" So, hallelujah, amen. But this is wild stuff here, isn't it? But this is supernatural. Jesus said the church ought to be filled with the supernatural. Amen, amen. That's the church today. Amen, the church today and in every generation ought to be filled with the supernatural. We ought to contend for the supernatural. John G. Lake, who was a great man of God in the early 1900s, God led him to Africa. He started hundreds of churches in Africa, had an incredible miracle and healing ministry in Africa. Brother Carl, help me here, because I hadn't planned to say this, but he had a vision, an angel appeared to him and opened up the book of Acts and told him, "Contend for this." And do I have that about right? Contend for this. If you read the book of Acts, it's not about chicken suppers. And we have those things, and that, you know, that's all right. But sometimes we get so caught up in the little programs and things that we're doing that we miss out on the real heart of the gospel and the real heart of what believers ought to be walking in. Contend for this. Contend for the supernatural. Contend for the power of God. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Well, praise God. One of the ways that we can do that is by understanding the value and the importance of speaking in other tongues because it's a supernatural work. It's a supernatural sign. Speaking in tongues is a supernatural utterance. Amen? So we've been talking about this, the reality, the importance of speaking with tongues. And just to go through briefly, if you haven't been here, speaking in tongues is, number one, it's the initial evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:4 says we're all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Throughout the book of Acts, you see that when believers were filled with the Holy Spirit, they spoke in tongues. It's the initial evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Then number two, it is a supernatural sign of the reality of the working of God. In several places in the book of Acts, the speaking in tongues was a sign to the people there that God truly was at work. Amen? Praise God. And then number three, we talked about the public ministry of tongues and interpretation, which we just had demonstrated here on the platform. My wife gave a message in tongues. My daughter interpreted that message. That is tongues and interpretation, public ministry. All right? And that's two of the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's a ministry that God has set in the church. And so there's the public side. Then we start talking about the personal, devotional aspect of speaking in tongues. And that's where the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 5, he said, I wish you all spoke with tongues. Because all of us, everybody say all of us. Say even me. Even turn to your neighbor and say even you. Even hallelujah. All of us can and should experience and walk in this personal devotional aspect of speaking in tongues. Paul says, I wish you all spoke with tongues. Now again, he didn't say that like I pointed out 2 weeks ago. He didn't say, well, yeah, I wish. You know, like that's never going to happen. No, the I wish is translated, same word where it says, God is not willing that any should perish, but he wills all men to be saved. He wills all men to be saved. The same word. I wish that you all spoke with tongues. All right? And it's also translated desire. It's also translated desire in the New Testament. So God desires that you speak in tongues. Amen? Amen. Praise God. And so why? What is the, as far as this personal, devotional aspect of speaking in tongues, let's look at some of the benefits, some of the reasons why we should do it, why we should speak in tongues. Well, number one, it builds you up spiritually. It builds you up. It charges up your spiritual battery. 1 Corinthians 14:4 says, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. Jude 20 says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. So when you speak in tongues, when you pray in other tongues, it does something on the inside of you. It charges up your spiritual battery. It charges up your spirit. Amen. And then number two, it helps you to stay conscious of the Holy Spirit's presence and the Holy Spirit's indwelling. The Bible says in 1 John 4:4, greater is he who is in you than he that is in the world. You know, the greater one lives on the inside of us, but so often we are not conscious of his indwelling presence and we don't rely upon him. We're faced with a situation and the greater one wants to rise up on the inside of us and give us direction, give us strength. Hallelujah. Help us respond in the right way. But if we're not conscious of his indwelling presence, oftentimes we won't rely on him. Praying in other tongues on a consistent basis helps you stay conscious of the Holy Spirit's indwelling presence. Amen. Praise God. It also, speaking in tongues, praying in tongues also aids us in worshiping God. Hallelujah. It enables us to worship God more fully. More completely. Amen. Kenneth E. Hagin said this. It's in the book that I'll be quoting from today that we've been recommending in Tongues Beyond the Upper Room. He said this, worshiping God in tongues will make you more conscious of the Holy Spirit's indwelling presence. It will make you hungrier for God and less drawn to the things of this natural realm. Praise God. It will make you hungrier for God and less drawn to the... Can anybody use that? Can anybody be used being less drawn to the things of this natural realm and hungrier for God? Well, praying in other tongues will help cultivate that and stimulate that in your life. Praise God. And then number four, praying in other tongues stimulates faith. Praying in tongues stimulates faith, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, Jude said, praying in the Holy Spirit. The problem with a lot of folks is it's not that they don't have faith, We just need to stir our faith up and start using it again. Amen? Praying in other tongues will help you to do that. It will help that happen in your life. Praise God. And then number five, praying in other tongues helps to bring your tongue under subjection. Could anybody in here use that? Hallelujah. Amen. See, in James, it talks about the tongue, that no man can tame the tongue. It's an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Hallelujah. Amen. And so praying in other tongues, when you're praying in tongues, you know what you're doing? You're yielding your tongue to the unction of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. So the more you learn to do that, if you can yield your tongue to the unction of the Holy Spirit and pray in other tongues, then you can also, when somebody crosses you, when somebody says something bad to you, when somebody does you wrong, and you just want to just give them a piece of your mind, you can also in that moment yield your tongue to the unction of the Holy Spirit. Not in praying in other tongues at that moment, but in saying, well, brother, I bless you in Jesus' name. God loves you, and I do too. Amen? Hallelujah. And then number six, praying in other tongues enables you to pray out the plan of God for your life. Praying in other tongues enables you to pray out the plan of God for your life. 1 Corinthians 14:2, we read that and pointed out, he who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. I didn't have an opportunity to look this up, but I had intended to. Maybe I will later, but I'm pretty sure. 3 years ago, I watched an interview with, they were interviewing Mariano Rivera. Now, he's just retiring. Today's his last game in the major leagues, Sandman. The greatest closing relief pitcher in the history of Major League Baseball. Played for the New York Yankees, God forgive him. Thursday night was their last home game, and he was pitching, and the manager sent out Derek Jeter and Andy Pettit to come out and to take him out of the game. Did anybody see that? And he embraced, Andy Pettit is a believer too, and he just embraced Andy and just held on to him and just wept, you know. He said, interviewed him later, and he said, it just hit me like a ton of bricks. He said, I just lost it. But 3 years ago, I was watching an interview, and again, I should have gone back and found it exactly. But in that interview, they asked him, what made him such a great pitcher was, they said, Pastor, you're talking about speaking in tongues, and you're talking about Mariano Rivera. Well, there's a connection here, trust me. All right. What made him such an effective closer was his cutter that he threw. And they said, Mariano, how did you learn to throw this? He says, well, he said, I just was praying in the Spirit. He said, I was praying in the Spirit, and God showed me how to do this. I'm not lying to you. I heard him say that. He said, I was praying in the Spirit, and God showed me how to do this, how to throw this. And I know I should have looked it up so I could have played it for you and proved it to you, but I remember, did anybody remember seeing that? It was during the first round of the playoffs 3 years ago. It's when the Braves were playing the Giants, and during that series is when I saw this interview. Praying in tongues enables you to pray out the plan of God for your life, and God will show you things that will give you success. Amen. God wants you to have success. And of course, you know, he's retiring with great accolades, and everybody's talking about what a prince of a man that he is, and what a great example, you know, that he is, and he's conducted himself well as a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. So it's great to see folks like that, you know, represent the Lord well. But he said, you know, that's how that he learned to throw that pitch that made his pitching so devastating. Nobody could hit it. And then number seven, praying in tongues is the introduction or the doorway to the gifts of the Spirit. We want God to use us. We want the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. That's the supernatural equipment that God has given us, that God has given the church to operate with. Amen. Those nine manifestations of the Spirit. Well, praying in tongues is the doorway to get into those nine manifestations. Amen. And so that's some of the benefits. There's others, but that's some of the benefits that we can all enjoy and reap from praying in other tongues. Amen? And then we've talked about this, and it's what I want to really get to this morning. Praying with the help of the Holy Spirit. Praying with the help of the Holy Spirit. Several weeks ago, before I started this series, I just had it in my heart that I needed to share some along these lines, and I was impressed to pick up this book. I had it in my bookcase in our bedroom, but I'd read parts of it, but I hadn't read all of it. But I was impressed just to start at the beginning and read the preface. How many of you just normally skip the preface, skip the foreword and the preface, and let's get to chapter 1. I don't want to read all those pages that have little XVII numbers, you know. Let's get to the one. Okay, page 1. Let me start at page 1, not page X or not page III. Anybody ever do that? All right. But I was impressed, and this is on page X, page little X in this book. And Brother Hagin said this, and it'll be on the screen. Years ago, the Lord told me that there are some areas of prayer and intercession that will be lost unless we who are experienced in prayer somehow get those truths over to this present generation. God needs more people of prayer to get the job done on this earth. I'm inviting you to be one of them and to start by learning more about the true scope and value of praying in other tongues. Now, I had the privilege, again, this is, if you're not familiar with who Kenneth E. Hagin is, he was the founder of Rhema Bible Training Center. God led me, and I had the privilege of going to Rhema Bible Training Center. I went there in 1981, graduated in 1983, and was led by the Lord to sit under and to follow the ministry of Brother Hagin. I consider him a spiritual father, a spiritual mentor. And Brother Hagin did a good job of teaching his generation and getting over to his generation these truths. He said God told him that these truths would be lost to this present generation unless those of us who are experienced in prayer somehow get those truths over to them. And he did a good job through his example and through his teaching. I had the privilege, of course, there were several instructors at Rhema, but Brother Hagin was teaching at Rhema back in the days when I was there. And then beyond that, after I graduated, had the privilege of going to many of his meetings. But it was not just the teaching, but also many times he would lead times of prayer. And I learned much from Brother Hagin, just hooking up with him. I didn't pray. I didn't know him personally. I didn't pray, join hands with him. It's okay, Brother Hagin, let's pray now about this. But as he was leading a large group of people, I would just, in the spirit, just hook up with how he was praying and just pray with him. And you learn things in your spirit. You learn things that way. Amen? Does that make sense to you? Amen? But I learned much from him. That's why I feel a responsibility now. He's gone. He went to heaven in 2003. So the responsibility falls on us, upon us that he trained to get these truths over to this present generation now. So that's why, this is our destination. As I told you a couple of weeks ago, we pulled up in the parking lot 2 Sundays ago. Now we're going to look at the whole house today, the whole place. Amen? Praise God. So we looked at some scriptures about this. Let's see what he said here. Areas of prayer and intercession that'll be lost unless we who are experienced in prayer get those truths over to this present generation. And God needs more people of prayer to get the job done on this earth. How many believe that's true? Oh, I see that more and more every day. There are so many different areas and assignments of prayer that people need to pick up. A few people can't get the job done. God needs more people. God needs more people of prayer to get the job done on this earth. Amen. And he said, I'm inviting you to be one of them. Well, I'm inviting you today to be one of them. I'm inviting you to be one of them. Amen. Hallelujah. I hope you accept the invitation. Praise God. And he said, the way that we're going to get that done is to start by learning about the true scope and value of praying in other tongues. You know, he said, we read a few weeks ago that the church has tried to get by only on mental praying. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14:14, I will pray with the Spirit and I will pray with the understanding also. But the church has just tried to get by on the one half of it, just by praying with our understanding or praying out of our mind. Well, that's only a part of it. Amen? There's another side that we need to understand and that we need to tap into. Jeremiah 33:3. Let's look at this. We'll get on into this. Jeremiah 33:3, he says, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. In the margin of my Bible, the phrase great and mighty things, in the margin of my Bible, it is the word inaccessible. Call to me and I will answer you and I will show you inaccessible things which you do not know. In other words, when we can access the inaccessible by praying in other tongues. We can access what is otherwise inaccessible by praying in tongues. Think about how many things we've never accessed because we didn't take the time to pray in the Spirit about that. Amen? So we can access things we could access in no other way. Generally, that's true in prayer, but specifically prayer in the Spirit. Amen. So this is generally true in prayer. The Message Bible says it this way: call to me and I will answer you. I'll tell you marvelous and wondrous things that you could never figure out on your own. Amen. Call to me and I will answer you. So what precipitates all of this? What precipitates it all is us calling on the Lord. If we don't call, He can't answer. We sang it this morning. I called and you answered and you came to my rescue. Well, what if we don't call? Calling gives Him an opportunity, an invitation to work in our lives. Calling upon Him gives Him an opportunity to impart things to us, to show us things, marvelous and wondrous things that we could never figure out on our own. Amen. Let's go to Romans 8. Romans 8 talks about this. Romans 8:26, look at this with me. Romans 8:26, he says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. What's our weakness? Well, he tells us, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. That's a weakness. The word weakness means inability to produce results. Have you ever, be honest with you, you don't have to raise your hands, but just be honest, as I ask this, have you ever felt before when you prayed, you kind of felt powerless or you kind of felt like, I don't know if that really did any good. I don't know that I really prayed effectively about that. I don't know that I really made connection with God. Anybody ever felt that way when you prayed? We all have, haven't we? That's our weakness, our inability in our own self to produce results. Now, one thing that greatly helped me, that greatly revolutionized my prayer life. When I was a young man, I had the privilege of getting a hold of the book, Prayers That Avail Much. Right after I got filled with the Holy Spirit, and in fact, the people that I was hanging around after I got filled with the Holy Spirit, some of those people helped write that book. And the book is authored by Miss Jermaine Copeland. Miss Jermaine has spoken here. She's going to be speaking here in the future. We don't have the date established yet, but we're going to bring her back here. How many remember Miss Jermaine? She's spoken here at our last two prayer conferences. But she and a group of ladies, and this is the way this book came together, and since then they've made numerous, I don't know how many different versions of the book, but the book was called Prayers That Avail Much. And what they did, this group of ladies gathered around, and they were having issues and situations in their family. They'd learned the Word of God. They'd learned that you could stand on God's Word, that you could find promises from God's Word, and you could claim them and stand on them. So they started writing prayers for their family about their situations. They would have, you know, issues and situations with their children, with their marriages, with their health, with their finances, all these things. And they said, look, let's go to the Word of God and let's write out scriptural prayers. Let's find scriptures that cover these issues and let's write out a prayer that's basically these scriptures. And so they did that, and they just would pray them themselves. And that's how that book came together. See what the devil was trying to defeat them, trying to oppress them, trying to attack them, attack their finances, their families. They said, you know, let's go to God. And so what the devil meant to attack them and defeat them, God ended up bringing something that's been a great blessing to the body of Christ. And these books have sold millions and millions and millions of copies. It's amazing how God can use something like that. And so I learned during that time, I got the book. When I got a book, it was put together with plastic comb binding. Hadn't even a major publisher hadn't even picked it up yet. And so that was my first copy of it. And I learned to pray the Word of God. So my point is when you pray God's Word, you can pray effectively. But even then, sometimes there may be situations and you don't know exactly what scriptures apply to that. Or Lord, what is your will in this situation? Some things can be kind of sticky and complicated, can't they? So he says, we don't know for what to pray for as we ought. That's a weakness that we have. That's our inability to produce results. But the Spirit helps us. The good news is the Holy Spirit helps us when we don't know what to pray for as we ought. It says, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now, somebody said, well, Pastor, this does not talk about speaking in tongues or praying in other tongues. Well, I read to you a couple of weeks ago. For those of you that were not here, I'll read it again. Brother Hagin refers to a man by the name of P.C. Nelson. They call him Dad Nelson. I'll just read you what he said about this verse here and about how it does incorporate and it does encompass speaking in other tongues. Praise God. In the early days of my ministry, P.C. Nelson, we young ministers called him Dad Nelson, was considered the number one authority on the Greek language in America. I didn't go to Dad Nelson's Bible school, but I heard him preach a number of times, and I collected almost all the books he ever published. He had 12 years of higher education. That's after you graduate high school. He had 12 more years. That's pretty good, huh? And that blows apart the theory that speaking in tongues is just for the ignorant and uneducated, right? And I once heard him say that he could speak and write 32 different languages. That beats me by 31. When commenting on this verse, Dad Nelson said, actually, the Greek literally says, the Holy Spirit maketh intercession for us in groanings that cannot be uttered in articulate speech. He went on to explain that articulate speech refers to our regular kind of speech. Dad Nelson went on to point out that these groanings also included praying in other tongues. Paul is talking about utterances or groanings in prayer that cannot be uttered in articulate speech. Dad Nelson stressed that these groanings are not something the Holy Spirit does apart from you. Rather, the Holy Spirit helps you pray in groanings. By this method, the Holy Spirit helps you to pray according to the perfect will of God and to pray out the perfect will of God. That is the way things should be prayed for. Isn't that right? Things ought to be, when you pray, isn't it good to know you're praying the perfect will of God about that situation? Well, when we pray in other tongues, we are praying out the perfect will of God. He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God, that scripture said. Praise God. So I want to continue today, and as we think about this, as we think about praying, being able to pray for situations that we would not know to pray for otherwise. See, what Brother Hagin was trying to get across to us about the job getting done on the earth is that, you know, we're limited in our mind. We're limited in our own human understanding of how to pray effectively, of how to pray as we ought. But if we'll learn to rely upon the Holy Spirit, we can move into a higher level of prayer and we can get some things done that we would not be able to touch on otherwise. Amen. And I want to read to you some examples, some testimonies of deliverance that Brother Hagin includes in the book here, just to inspire you, just to encourage you, and also to teach you. Brother Hagin was wonderful, and these testimonies that I'm going to read to you, I heard him share all of these personally, many of them more than one time. And he was famous for his stories. You know, he would be teaching, he'd read a few verses, and he'd say, I remember in 1954, I was holding a meeting in Broken Bow, Oklahoma. You know, He'd say, you know, he said, we're here in Broken Arrow now. Then there's broken bow. Somebody said, no wonder the Indians lost the war. They had a broken bow and a broken arrow. So anyway, I heard him share these testimonies many times, you know, in person. And if, you know, so I want to share these, some of these with you. Let me make sure I'm at the right spot here. But again, he would share these stories, and there was always, you know, it wasn't just a story he was telling, but it was giving insight, and there was a principle that was being illustrated that a lot of times you could get a hold of the principle by hearing the story related, even more than just hearing, okay, this is the principle, and this is what you do, and this is how. By hearing the story, it made the principle come alive. Amen? So that's what I want to accomplish this morning. There is a life in the Spirit and a realm of prayer in the Spirit, a realm of authority and supplication for all saints that the majority of Christians know nothing about and the rest have barely touched. It is only in this realm of the Spirit that we can fulfill God's command, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto, with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. That's Ephesians 6:18. We don't know all saints, so there's no way we could pray for all saints if we didn't pray in the Spirit or with other tongues. So many outstanding examples of operating in this realm of prayer stand out to me, but I will mention just a few from my own life. One incident happened years ago when we had just started prayer and healing school on the Rhema campus. One day, as I was ministering the word, I had a sudden, urgent burden to pray, but I didn't know what to pray about. I asked, "What is it, Lord? What is it?" Then I realized that someone's life was in danger. Someone was near death, not because of sickness or disease, but because of some kind of accident. So I got up and said to the crowd, "Folks, I have to pray, and I have to pray now. I'm inviting you to help me pray. I don't know who it is, but someone's life is in danger." I knelt down and began to pray. I prayed hard and fast in other tongues and in groanings for about 45 minutes. Then I had a note of victory that let me know I'd prayed through. I sang and laughed in the Spirit, and that heavy burden to pray lifted. I said, "Well, I don't know who it is. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will show me the person or people I'm praying for." This time he didn't. But whoever it is, I got the answer. Glory to God. That evening, my wife and I invited our ministry singing group, Faith's Creation, over to our house so we could pray about certain matters. While we were praying, the telephone rang and my wife answered it. It was a young lady, a student at Oral Roberts University. She and her family were personal friends of ours. The young woman said, "Mama just called from our home in Texas. She told me to call you and ask you to pray. There was an explosion this afternoon at the Texaco refinery in Port Arthur, Texas." That was the division where the girl's stepfather worked. Due to the intensity of the fire, no one had been able to get into the refinery since the explosion, and quite a bit of time had passed. We figured out later that I got the burden to pray in the Spirit for someone in danger just about the time the explosion occurred that afternoon. There were 17 men trapped in the refinery, and the rescue workers didn't know how many of them were injured or possibly dead. When Aretha related to the rest of us what the young woman had said, I told my wife, "Tell her that we've already gotten the answer. Her stepfather is all right. The Spirit of God alerted us this afternoon to pray. Tell her we prayed through about it and he is safe." You may ask, how did you know that this man and his co-workers were the people you were praying for in tongues? The Holy Spirit simply let me know through the inward witness as soon as I heard what had happened. So my wife and I and the members of Faith's Creation went on with our business of praying about other matters. When Aretha and I finally got to bed, it was after midnight. About 1:30, the phone rang. It was the same young lady calling again. She told us, "Mama just called and said they finally got the fire put out, and when they went into the refinery, they discovered that not one person was hurt. They can't believe it. Every single person's life was spared. Daddy's fine." Thank God the Holy Ghost knows what we are to pray for, and he helps us pray for the unknown. Later on, this young lady and her parents all graduated from Rhema and are in the ministry today. These folks in Texas had been friends and supporters of this ministry for many years, and the moment they had an urgent need, the Holy Spirit alerted us to pray miles away in Tulsa. There is no distance in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit can help you pray about anyone, anywhere. Amen? And that's why it's important to be connected to the right folks, too. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I'm not just talking about natural connections. I'm talking about in your heart, spiritually, and with your faith. Amen. Praise God. Here's another one. I could talk to you all day long, giving you illustration after illustration of miracles that occurred as the Holy Spirit used me to pray in tongues for a situation unknown to me. But marvelous testimonies have also happened in the lives of others I know, many of whom were missionaries on the foreign field, thousands of miles away from home. For instance, a young missionary friend of mine shared a testimony with me along this line. He and his wife Blanche were missionaries to Africa during the years leading up to World War I. Of course, they traveled over to Africa by boat and didn't have any means of quick communication the way we do now. It would take a month for their parents in America to receive a letter from them. Blanche's father and mother had been old-time Pentecostal dairy farmers all their lives and at this time were in their 80s. Even though Blanche's father didn't operate the dairy any longer, he still kept three cows, which he would milk every day and then sell the cream. One morning, Blanche's elderly father got up at dawn, as he always did, and started out toward the barn to milk the cows. But halfway between the house and the barn, he was arrested in his spirit with a strong inner impression that something was wrong. Some way or another, the farmer knew it was about his daughter Blanche. So he set down the milk pails and returned to the house. Blanche's mother had just started to make breakfast on the old wood stove. When her husband walked in the back door, she looked at him and exclaimed, "You look like you just saw a ghost. What's the matter?" "I don't know," the farmer answered, "but something's wrong with Blanche. She's in trouble, near death. Her physical life is in danger. We have to pray." "How do you know?" his wife asked. "I can't tell you how I know. I just know it on the inside of me." That was the Spirit of God letting this farmer know something about the unknown. So the elderly father and mother got down on their knees right there on that kitchen floor, and the man said to the Holy Spirit, "I don't know what's wrong, but something is wrong with Blanche, and we don't know what to pray for as we ought, but you do. Holy Spirit, so please help us make intercession for our daughter." Then they began to pray with other tongues. That was at about 5:30 in the morning. Hours passed. Noon came and went. The cows were lowing. They hadn't been milked. The hogs were squealing and the chickens were clucking. They hadn't been fed. But still, the farmer and his wife prayed on in other tongues for their daughter. Then at about 2:00 in the afternoon, the elderly man began to laugh and sing in tongues. He said to his wife, "Blanche is going to be all right." Now let me stress this one more time. Once you begin to pray this way, keep on praying until you get a note of victory. Whatever it is you're praying about, you'll know it in your spirit when you have your answer. You'll have an urge to laugh, to worship, or to sing in tongues, and you'll know you prayed that burden through. The old Pentecostals had a term called praying through. Now, they began to, it became perverted and misused, but here's what they were talking about. When a burden to pray came on them, they would stay with it, and they would pray until they'd prayed that out, and then the Holy Spirit would give them a note of victory on the inside. It was nearly 6 weeks later that Blanche's parents received a letter from their son-in-law. In that letter to his in-laws, the missionary explained, "Several weeks ago, Blanche contracted one of the deadly fevers that are common over here. The people told us there was no cure for her." Remember, this was between 1910 and 1920. Medical practices in this part of Africa were extremely primitive. Back in those days, once a person in Africa contracted this terrible fever, that person died. End of story. The son-in-law wrote, "Blanche sunk to the edge of death. In fact, as far as we could tell, she died. We couldn't detect any life in her. But then all of a sudden, Blanche rose up well." The parents wrote back and asked, "What day and time did Blanche rise up well?" They didn't tell their daughter and her husband why they were asking. When they received a letter in response, they compared notes with the date and time of their urgent need to pray for Blanche. Her parents found out that the hours when she had sunk close to death were the very hours when they had been praying for her. And when they figured the difference in time zones, they realized that the moment their daughter rose up healed in Africa was the same moment, 2:00 in their time, that her father was laughing in the spirit and singing in tongues. Praise God. These old-time Pentecostals knew something about praying through in the Holy Ghost. We'd do well to learn from them. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, see, we have scripture about that. in Acts chapter 12 and verse 5, we'll look at this. Look at this scripture. Acts 12:5 says, Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. Look at that. The church was doing what? Praying. Peter was in prison. He was in danger. Herod was going to take him out and execute him the next day. And it says, verse 6 says, and when Herod was about to bring him out, that night Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise quickly, and his chains fell off his hands. Supernatural deliverance, why? Because the church prayed. I said, because the church prayed. I said, because the church prayed. Hallelujah. Amen. Philippians 1:19, Paul wrote along the same line. Look at what Paul said. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance. How? Through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Praise God. Let me read you another situation that Brother Hagin relates here. I want to share two more testimonies of spectacular deliverance on the mission field that a missionary named Brother Bowley experienced because of someone's obedience to pray. Brother Bowley was a missionary in the African bush country back at the turn of the 20th century. I was a young minister at that time, and I attended a meeting where Brother Bowley related these two experiences. On one occasion, a rival hostile tribe stole a little six-year-old girl from the village where Brother Bowley was preaching, and nearly everyone had gotten saved. Brother Bowley said, we knew from experience that if we didn't get that little girl back before nightfall, she would never be recovered. These two tribes spoke different dialects, so Brother Bowley left for the rival tribe's village with one of the natives, a Christian convert who could speak their dialect. Bowley hoped to barter with the chieftain, trading the child for beads and trinkets. Miles before the two men reached the village, they smelled the odor of putrid, rotting meat. This particular tribe would select three or four women to prepare and cook an animal that would then be hung on a post just outside the village. The animal would hang there for days and even weeks, rotting in the sun. Everyone who came to the village had to cut off a chunk and eat it, including Brother Bowley and his companion. Brother Bowley said, you might think you believe God, but you really find out whether or not you believe Him when you go to some of those extreme areas on the mission field. In this case, each one of us had to cut off a big chunk of that rotting meat and eat it. But thank God it never did affect us. That's what Mark 16 is talking about. Amen. If you drink any deadly thing, or in that case, eat any deadly thing. It's not talking about just trying it, but in a situation where you're forced to or have to. Brother Bowley and his companion finally reached the chieftain and traded a bunch of trinkets and beads for the girl. At that point, however, nighttime overtook them, which was a problem because it was impossible to travel in the dense jungle at night. The two men were led to the guest quarters of the village, a primitive thatch roof hut. Darkness fell, and they had nothing left to do but lay down on the hard ground and go to sleep. Hours later, when it was near midnight, they woke up to the sound of drums rolling. Bowley asked his companion, what does the sound of those drums mean? His native companion replied, this is the death sentence they have passed on us. It has finally dawned on that chief that he's already gotten our trinkets, so now he can kill us and still keep the girl. The drums are signaling the tribe's intention to come and kill us. They are coming with bolo knives that with one slice can cut off our heads. Brother Bowley and the native interpreter could hear the approaching enemy rustling outside their thatch-roofed hut. So Bowley said to the other man, let's kneel down and commit ourselves into the hands of God. Then we won't wait for them to come in and get us. Let's go out first. I'll lead the way. Brother Bowley related what happened next. After we prayed, I shut my eyes, pulled back the grass thatch entrance covering and stepped out of the hut, just waiting. He said, I stood in front of the hut for what seemed like a long time, although it was probably only a few seconds. Of course, at a time like that, a few seconds would seem like a very long time. Brother Bowley continued, suddenly I realized that no one had cut off my head. I could hear the sound of these warriors saying something. So I opened my eyes and looked around at the circle of tribal warriors surrounding me. They were all on their knees and their faces bowed to the ground and their bolo knives lying on the ground beside them. Just then the interpreter stepped out of the hut and boldly asked him, "What are these warriors saying?" "They are worshiping you as God," he exclaimed. Brother Boley asked his interpreter to find out what had happened. The village warriors told the interpreter, "When this foreigner stepped out of the hut, two giant men in shining white apparel, 9 feet tall and with huge swords, stepped out on either side of him." Praise God. Then the warriors fell down before the missionary and continued to worship him. Of course, Boley retrieved the little girl and took her back home and returned her safely to her parents and her tribe. 2 weeks later, Brother Boley was planning another mission trip, and he found out that the staff at the mission station was shorthanded. Someone told him, "We have a young lady at the mission station alone with no help. I check on her every couple of weeks to see how she's doing, but she always seems to be doing fine." Let's see. Is this the story? So Brother Boley went to see this young woman who was operating. Yeah, it's still part of the same story. Excuse me. So Brother Boley went to see this young woman who was operating the mission station all by herself. While he was there, she asked him, "Brother Boley, did something happen to you sometime around midnight on Monday night? Was your life in danger? Why do you ask?" He said, "Well, I work here by myself between 10 to 12 hours a day," she said. "One night I was very tired and went to sleep almost immediately after going to bed. Then at about 10:30 that night, I was awakened with a very heavy burden to pray. So I got out of bed, sunk to my knees, and began to pray in other tongues." The woman continued to pray from 10:30 until midnight. "That whole time," she said, "it seemed like your face kept flashing before me as I prayed. Then I had a note of victory and began to sing in tongues and to laugh in the Holy Ghost." Brother Boley said, "Sister, just about the time you begin to laugh is when I stepped out of that thatch roof hut to meet a group of hostile warriors, and their attack was stopped by two shining, gigantic men they saw on either side of me." Here is the question to seriously consider. What if this young woman hadn't yielded to the Holy Spirit's leading to pray? Brother Boley shared one more amazing testimony that I want to share with you so you can see how great the scope of praying in tongues really is. Of course, having served so many years as a missionary in the primitive African bush country, he could have told us many more experiences of supernatural deliverance. Off the west coast of Africa was an island whose inhabitants had never yet been reached for Jesus. So Brother Boley leased a native sailboat and crew and took a spirit-filled native interpreter with him to the island each week to preach the gospel and minister to the people. Then one Monday, a sudden storm arose late in the afternoon as Brother Boley and his companions were returning to the mainland after their weekly visit to the island. They'd been trying to get home before dark since the boat had no lights or navigation instruments. But as the crew fought to stay afloat in the storm, nighttime overtook them and the situation became even more desperate. Hours passed and the storm continued to rage in the black darkness of night. Finally, about midnight, the boat captain said to Boley, "I don't know where we are in relation to the harbor we have to enter. There is only one narrow space into the harbor that is safe. The rest is very dangerous because of hidden reefs. If we make a run for it, we'll probably be dashed to pieces on the rocks. But if we stay out here in the open ocean, we're going to sink, and everyone's life will certainly be lost." Brother Boley replied, "Well, I don't know anything about navigation. You're the captain. What do you think we should do?" The captain answered, Our only chance is to try to make a run for it." Boley said, "Then before we do, let's pray." The captain and his crew were not Christians, but when people are facing death, everyone gets reverent in a hurry. So they all got down on their knees, and Brother Boley and the interpreter, and committed their lives into the hands of God. Then Boley got up and said, "Well, just let the boat go." Relating his testimony, Brother Boley said, "As God is my witness, not to mention the witness of all those folks on the boat, the moment the captain pointed that sailboat toward the harbor and let it go, it just took off in the air like an airplane and sailed right over the reef, landing in the harbor where the water was calm and peaceful." Of course, there was abundant rejoicing going on in that boat over their miraculous deliverance. A few days later, Brother Boley went to visit one of the mission stations he oversaw. At this time, one woman was staying at the mission station by herself. Thank God for the women that had the courage to go to Africa back in those days. Think about it. During Bowley's visit, the woman asked him, "Brother Bowley, did anything happen to you in particular last Monday night?" "Well, now what do you mean?" Bowley asked. Of course, he definitely remembered something happening that night. "Well," she said, "I went to bed early that night and had been asleep for several hours. About 10 o'clock, I was suddenly awakened and bolted upright in bed. I said, 'Lord, what is it? Something is wrong here.' I began to pray, just lying there in bed, but I'd worked so hard and was so tired, I kept drifting back to sleep. So I got out of bed and got down on my knees." You may have to do that sometime. "I prayed, 'Lord, I don't know what it is, but whatever it is, the Holy Ghost knows. I'm going to trust Him to help me.' So I started praying in other tongues, and the Holy Ghost began to help me. I spent the next 2 hours from 10 until midnight praying in tongues. I didn't know what I was praying about or whom I was praying for. But at the end of that time, I knew that whatever it was, I'd gotten the victory because that heavy burden lifted and I felt a spirit of lightness. I began to sing and laugh in the spirit. Right then, your face flashed before me. So I thought maybe I was praying for you. Did anything happen to you last Monday night about midnight?" Sister, midnight on Monday night was the very moment we were miraculously delivered from certain death, Bowley exclaimed. While that missionary woman was laughing and praising God in the spirit, that sailboat just took off and sailed right over the reef, landing in the harbor with everyone on board safe and sound. So why don't we have more supernatural testimonies like this happening? I'll tell you why. Because more folks are not praying in other tongues. Now, they may pray a little in other tongues to keep themselves in basic fellowship with God, but they don't take an extended amount of time to wait in His presence. That's when the Holy Ghost can take hold with them to pray through on matters that desperately need to be prayed about. There is no doubt in my mind that the Holy Spirit is continually searching for those whom He can use in prayer. When He finds believers willing to yield to Him and pray for as long as it takes in other tongues, He takes hold together with them, helping them to pray out God's perfect will about matters they often know nothing about. The Holy Ghost knows when what we should pray for as we ought. We don't. Yet so many times when we get a burden or an inward witness to pray in our spirits, we go right on about our daily business instead of stopping to pray. Now the other side of this is right here, because somebody, you might be thinking, well, you know, I can't pray for if I'm right in the middle of my day and I'm in business or I have a job, you know, can I take 2 hours or 3 hours or half a day? Well, God knows who can and who can't. Amen. The other side of this is Patsy Caminetti, if you remember her testimony about they had a thing on the news about the cab drivers being attacked. Remember that? And she just saw it on the news and said, just prayed, "Lord, help that man. You know, help him." That's all she had a chance to pray at that moment. And then months later, they met the very cab driver whose life was spared, you know, who was miraculously delivered, you know. And maybe others were praying as well. But you know, so there's both sides of it. Amen? So remember that. Let me wrap this up here. This is one of the greatest areas in which the Holy Spirit is a helper to us, our prayer life. Of course, He helps us in all realms of life, but one of the most productive, most fruitful, most outstanding, and most miraculous areas He helps us in is praying out God's perfect will in other tongues for what is unknown to our natural minds. God is calling us to a deeper realm of prayer in these last days. That means we need to train ourselves to be sensitive to the Spirit of God so we can learn to yield to Him. As we do, He will help us pray out God's will in situations that arise, even when we know nothing about the circumstances or the people who are involved. We can get on our knees and say, "Holy Spirit, I don't know what to pray for as I ought, but You do." We won't know until we get to heaven how many great miracles have been wrought and how many countless lives have been saved because believers have been willing to do just that. When they sensed a burden to pray, they obeyed. And as they prayed in other tongues, the Holy Spirit took hold together with them, giving them the unction and anointing to pray out unknown situations according to the will of God. As Brother Hagin said, I'm inviting you to be one of them. I'm inviting you to be one of them. Amen.